You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Laser.
And this is Aubrey.
We are the Double Clicks, and you are listening to the Flopcast. Good job!
Woo!
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 625.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hello, Kevin.
Welcome back. I think you were off last week. We had the mayor filling in again.
Yes, I was very off. I'm very glad the mayor could fill in. Thank you, mayor.
We spent the whole show talking about disco dancing comic book superheroes.
Man.
That's the kind of deep academic discussion you missed out on.
You have no idea what level of FOMO that triggers for me.
Don't you wish you could have jumped in on a disco superhero discussion? Well, maybe another time. We got one or two things to run through today. Hopefully this won't take long. Then we can go collapse. Let's start with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
On May 3rd, Greece is the word. Frankie Valli is turning 90 years old.
90? Because he's still performing.
He's still alive. I mean, that was the part that freaked me out. And he is still, yeah, he's still performing and touring.
That does go hand in hand with still performing is the alive part, yes. But yeah, I see him listed from time to time as, you know, having a concert coming up in this area. And I always think, wow, he must be really getting old. But I didn't realize he was that old. Wow.
Yeah, isn't that something?
He has that crazy, high, whiny, screamy voice.
Sherry, walk like a man. Big girls don't cry.
Little of that goes a long way.
It's true.
But I guess the kids loved it back in the day.
They were obsessed.
And Billy Joel was doing kind of a Frankie Valli pastiche on Uptown Girl. And yeah, then in the 70s, he was still going with his hits from Greece and...
December 1963.
Right.
What a night.
He had quite a run.
I don't think there was a single junior high or high school dance that I went to where that song was not played.
And there was a musical based on Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons also, was there not?
Yeah, I think there was something like that.
Jersey Boys.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes. Man, I did not see that.
And one of his daughters plays a character in it.
She's one of the Jersey Boys?
Yeah, that's what it was. No.
There's not a chance I'm going to see that.
No? Well, I mean, I thought you had all the time in the world.
Yeah, you know what? Good point. What else do I have to do? I'll go to the Frankie Valli musical. Good point.
What makes you so busy that you can't take that high-pitched sound for an hour plus on end?
Go lock yourself in a theater while guys screech at you for 2 hours. Do it. Do it for Frankie. He's 90.
Pretty darn impressive.
Happy birthday. Okay, well, you know, I guess we're sticking on a rock and roll kind of theme today because they just announced the inductees for this year into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we covered the nominees.
Yeah, it feels like just yesterday we talked about the nominees.
And we do that every year. But then we always forget to follow up and say who's actually being inducted. So I thought, let's actually cover that this year for once.
I'm so glad we're doing this because I saw some interesting news regarding MC5, which has come up year after year.
Yeah, MC5 is one of the special inductees. They were not nominated, but they got one of those musical excellence or musical influence or whatever special inductions. Very important proto-punk band, if you will, out of Detroit. Likewise, in the special extra categories, they're finally inducting Big Mama Thornton, who was hugely important to the birth of rock and roll. You know, she sang Hound Dog before Elvis did.
Mm.
They're inducting Jimmy Buffett through one of those side musical excellence categories. Kind of weird.
Yeah, I wouldn't have anticipated that, but that's a nice way to honor his memory.
Yeah, I guess. I just don't get it. Anyway, they're letting Buffett in, whatever. I was very happy to see that finally Dionne Warwick is also getting one of those special inductions.
Finally.
Yeah, and she's been nominated a couple of times without getting in. And I guess I like the idea of why wait any longer? She's 80-something and still healthy, still performing. She's performing in Massachusetts, I believe, this week. You know, she's still out there. And it'd be very nice to see Dion at the ceremony. And then the other special inductee that I made a note of was the only person on the induction list who I've actually seen live once, oddly. And that's John Mayall, who's not a big name in America. Yeah. But John Mayall is considered like the father of blues rock in England. It was John Mayall and the Blues Breakers were a band that came up through the 60s and are still around. And they're kind of known for everybody who's passed through that band over the years because Eric Clapton and Jack Bruce were both in the Blues Breakers before leaving to start Cream. And then Peter Green and John McVie and Mick Fleetwood were all members of the Blues Breakers before, you know, going off to be Fleetwood Mac. And there's other examples like that. So this guy had like major stars kind of working their way through his band over the years. And I actually saw John Mayall and the Blues Breakers in Providence do a show back in the 90s. And I didn't even know who they were at the time. I was just going to see a show because, you know, what else did I have to do? Jersey Boys was not playing that night. So my only other option was to go see John Mayall. And fine show. Sounded great.
I'm glad you still got your fix.
He does a thing, like he holds a microphone in each hand. He has a vocal mic, and then he has another mic with a harmonica on it.
Ah.
That's his move.
If it were me, I would be constantly getting those two microphones mixed up.
I could see you doing that.
I'd probably break my teeth on the vocal microphone, going for the harmonica.
Yeah, that'd be a good show, though. People would like that. These days, I learned this a few years ago and I forgot, then I looked it up again today. These days, the guitarist in the Blues Breakers is a woman, a young American woman, Caroline something. So that's unusual, you know, this old British band, and now they have a young American woman on lead guitar, and she's married to A. Whitney Brown, who I remember from Saturday Night Live in the 80s. He was a writer and a performer. So that's weird.
That's neat.
Yeah. So I was happy to see John Mayall getting one of these special inductions anyway. But getting back to the main list of people who were actually nominated, here's who is not getting in. Mariah Carey did not make the cut.
I am not stunned.
I was rather surprised. I thought she was just so big that how could she not get in?
And she's drawn some negative press over the past couple of years, so maybe that played in.
That could be. So I was surprised, but I do expect Mariah's got to get in there at some point. Lenny Kravitz did not make the cut.
He still has time.
Oh, sure. He's a young guy. That's one of those, like, what's the rush, you know?
Right.
Eric B. and Rakim did not get in. Again, they're just not well-known enough, I think. Jane's Addiction did not get in. Oasis, Sade, and Sinead O'Connor. Those are the seven nominees who are not getting in this year.
Hmm.
But we're here to talk about who did get in.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we're going to do that. We're not just going to run through this list and discuss.
Why be straightforward about this?
Well, we talked about everybody back in the nomination episode.
That's true. We've been there and we've done that.
Some weeks back. Now we have eight inductees, so I thought, well, that would fit nicely in a tournament format, so we might as well put these 2024 inductees through a flop fight. You're up for a flop fight, right?
Yes, I am.
And this will just be half the size of a regular flop fight. Usually this takes two episodes.
We're going to cram it all into one because the listeners demand it.
This will be nice and quick. We only have eight players instead of 16. So I've got the nominees on little slips of paper in a coffee mug. Let me see. This is my Woonsocket, Rhode Island, Woonsocket Historical Society coffee mug. So I'm going to reach in and draw our first two competitors. And up first, we have Mary J. Blige.
Nice.
And as we discussed, you're a fan. You like Mary J.
I do.
And I don't know anything about her. And I still don't. So we'll be leaning on you heavily through this whole competition to fill in the vast gaps in my knowledge. Mary will be competing against, as I draw the second name, Foreigner.
That is such a weird flop fight.
I mean, that's a classic matchup. Their careers have really been so intertwined over the years, right?
I am picturing her singing lead for I Want to Know What Love Is.
They came up together, the arena rock scene of the late 70s, didn't they?
If Mary J. Blige were in the room right now, she'd be giving you a look.
It was interesting. I thought that after all these years, they finally nominated Foreigner, and then look, they got right in. They cannot be stopped, but perhaps Mary J. can stop them, because now I've got a second coffee mug here. This is a Flopcast mug.
Oh, very nice.
Very own Flopcast coffee mugs, and I have the nature of the competitions on little slips of paper in this mug, and I'm now going to randomly draw. Let's see what they're doing. It's Mary J. Blige versus Foreigner, and the competition is... All right, this is a track and field competition.
Wow.
This is like an Olympic decathlon.
Okay, well, I think I've only seen one of these acts run.
This occurred to me because I was out running just a few days ago, and I was down on a track, like a quarter mile track that goes around a football field, and like the high school track and field team was down there practicing, because in the middle of the football field, as I'm just running in circles like an idiot around them, there were girls jumping over hurdles, and there was a javelin. There was a kid throwing a javelin.
That's awesome.
It's also a little unsettling when I'm running around and now there's a kid throwing a javelin, you know?
Well, run faster.
He claimed it was an accident, but I say he was aiming directly at me.
Well, you gotta have something to shoot for.
So this is a track and field, so, you know, javelin, shot put, hurdles, pole vaulting. We'll throw all that stuff in. All that Olympic decathlon nonsense.
Oh, all of it?
All of it.
Oh, this is going to get complicated now.
Mary J. Blige, Foreigner. Now, you said you've seen one of these acts run in the past. Who did you see running?
Mary J. Blige played a character in the Umbrella Academy, and I saw her running during a chase scene.
Okay, what do you think? How'd she do? Strong runner?
So, not strong enough for the purposes of this show, but she has more than that going for her. Because she was a featured performer on a Ludacris song called Runaway Love.
That counts.
Yeah, but I feel like I know more about Mary J. Blige than I know about Foreigner, so I don't really know how to qualify Foreigner for this sort of track and field setup.
So far, you're making a strong argument for Mary J. Blige, because I cannot imagine the guys from Foreigner in a track and field competition. You know, there's nobody left in Foreigner.
Well, that makes it awfully hard to run.
You know, there's nobody left in Foreigner from the 20th century.
Oh, wow.
There's been a complete turnover of Foreigner. Yeah, it's a Foreigner cover band at this point. Anyway, as far as I know, they have no idea what they're doing when it comes to pole vaulting. And so we're going to have to give this one to Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. gets it.
Mary is advancing. Let's go back to the Woonsocket coffee mug and our next competitor is your favorite. Here's Kool and the Gang.
Yeah. I'm going to try not to be biased.
So just like Foreigner, Kool and the Gang was never nominated before, which was ridiculous.
You're telling me.
Once again, they finally got nominated, and look at that. They're going right in, as they should.
You know it.
And that's going to be fun when I assume they're going to perform at the induction ceremony.
They will be the stars of the show with that. They are going to be the highlight of the performance.
Yeah, they still go out and perform. They tour. Kool is still there. There's one original guy left, and that's actual Kool. Let's see who they're competing with. It is Peter Frampton.
With that crazy sounding guitar.
He's got that talking vocal guitar vocoder thing going. Yes.
Wow, 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 wow.
Will that be an advantage in this competition? It all depends. Let's see what they're doing.
Mm.
I have randomly drawn Flash Gordon.
What?
As in, you have to play Flash Gordon, just like in the movie, like Sam J. Jones, friend of the Flopcast. Who would be the better Flash Gordon? I'm picturing the whole band. All in matching Flash Gordon costumes.
Okay.
Just running around in a pack together. That'd be kind of fun.
Did we judge based on how each contender would handle Brian Blessed?
how they would deal with the big bearded no pants hawk dude. Sure. Now Frampton's got the hair.
Yes.
He does have the pretty blonde hair, just like Sam Jones had for the movie. But man, Cool and the Gang kind of fits in, like in the court of Emperor Ming the Merciless, all those elaborate costumes and such. I feel like they'd be very much at home on the planet Mongo.
Yeah. And there's power in numbers, too.
Absolutely. I feel like they could have just taken care of business. You know, within 5 minutes, the movie would be over.
And then the whole rest of the movie could be a dance party, which I think is what the fans actually wanted.
Yeah, I do worry that Frampton would get bogged down in long guitar solos.
Yeah, you can't have long guitar solos distracting you when Ming the Merciless is on the loose.
It sounds like we're going Cool in the Gang to advance in this case going forward.
Straight ahead. Let's go.
All right. Flash Gordon is played by Cool in the Gang. I like that. Up next, we have A Tribe Called Quest.
Yes, yes.
This is another group I know nothing about.
And I know very little about.
Uh-oh. But you know more than me. We established that you, at the very least...
Know one song. I know one whole song by A Tribe Called Quest.
Okay. It's one more than I know. A Tribe Called Quest, and they are going up against the Dave Matthews Band.
That's gonna be tough.
I'm not a fan. I know they're very big.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen, like, if you've got Mariah Carey and you've got Lenny Kravitz, I would have liked to have seen one of them get in instead. No offense, DMB.
No, I would agree with that. But Dave Matthews going in the Hall of Fame. That's what it's come to. So now we have Tribe Called Quest against Dave Matthews Band. And this time the competition is...
Annoying Cornflake.
Competition is Hide and Seek. They're just going to play Hide and Seek.
All right. Oh, I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm curious to see what you think.
Well, in terms of numbers, it's interesting that it's both bands. We happen to have drawn two bands to go up against each other. I know Dave Matthews Band, that's a big band, right?
Yes.
What about Tribe Called Quest? Is that a big group? I don't know.
It's not big, but the way I see it, After that song Scenario came out in the early 90s...
Is this the one song that you know?
I never heard from them again in the mainstream, and you cannot get the heck away from Dave Matthews Band. So who do you think is better at hiding?
They've been hiding from us all these years.
Yeah, you have to go looking for Tribe Called Quest. Dave Matthews... It's like a case if you have to run away.
All right, fine. A Tribe Called Quest will advance. That is a sound argument.
Take that, DMB.
We have one matchup left, and that is Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh.
Solo Ozzy is being inducted. He's already in the Hall of Fame as a member of Black Sabbath, but now he will be a two-time inductee. And I already know what the last name in this thing is. This is quite a matchup.
There's only one left.
The last name is, of course, Cher.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I know you don't do these things on purpose, but that is an epic matchup.
This has all been completely random, but the final opening round matchup, Ozzy versus Cher. Monster acts. Cher, it's going to be interesting because she was bad-mouthing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame all last year and saying she wanted nothing to do with it. So now the fun part is... Is she going to come around and be cool with it and come and perform, accept the award? Or is she going to stick to her guns and ignore the whole thing? We don't know what Cher's going to do. Cher can do whatever she wants. But right now she's got a fight with Ozzy. And the competition this time is cappuccino. Making cappuccino. Like doing the fancy, you know, swirly design in the top of the cup.
I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm picturing the two of them being equally bad.
Really?
How do you see it?
Man, Ozzy always seems just so out of it that I feel like how could he possibly do the fancy design in a cappuccino? Cher, I feel like Cher is still, you know, in complete control and command.
Of her faculties?
her faculties, yes. And I feel like Cher can do anything she wants, and if she wanted to make a cappuccino, I'll bet she could.
I see no reason not to give it to Cher.
I think you're right. We're going Cher. Cher, it occurred to me, I wonder if Cher got all the diva votes, and that's why Mariah didn't get in.
Hmm.
They might have been kind of, you know, in the same lane as far as the voters. That's possible. All right, we've got four people left now. Let's move on to the semifinal round, and that is Mary J. Blige versus Kool and the Gang.
I wonder if it'll have something to do with dancing, because that would make it really interesting.
I don't think it will, because when I was putting the competitions in the cup, I avoided show business, you know, singing and dancing kind of stuff.
Ah, okay.
Given the nature of the competitors.
Yeah.
I wanted to take that off the board, you know. No, the competition is Smurf.
Oh, wow. I am now picturing Kool and the Gang in the little white caps and all wearing blue, doing some sort of funk rendition of the Smurf theme song.
Just their numbers give them the Smurf advantage, I think, because you definitely want to see a bunch of Smurfs.
But without Mary J. Blige, you don't have a Smurfette.
If only we could all be winners.
I want to hear a Kool and the Gang rendition of the Smurf theme song. Like, I want that now.
Yeah, wow, I would love that. Okay, just based on that alone, just based on a new recording of the Smurf theme song by Kool and the Gang, we've got to give it to those guys. Okay, sorry, Mary. Mary is out. And that means now we have A Tribe Called Quest facing Cher.
In the weirdest face-off ever.
And again, Cher is, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world facing the much lesser-known Tribe Called Quest. But it all comes down to, you never know what's going to happen in these flop fights because of the randomness of the competitions. I have drawn Star Trek Red Shirt.
I think I know who this one goes to.
Tribe Called Quest. Or Cher, you gotta suit up in the red uniform, get beamed down to a strange planet where you may possibly meet your demise while the main cast looks on and survives.
I see a vague resemblance between Cher and Deanna Troi, like at least in the hair, right?
Yes, but Deanna Troi was not a red shirt.
Exactly. And yet, once again, for the very same reason why they were good at hide and seek... After the early 90s in the mainstream, we never saw A Tribe Called Quest again.
Because they got wiped out like red shirts? Or could their hide-and-seek skills pay off and allow them to survive after they get beamed down?
Yeah, maybe they're presumed to be dead, but they end up living on that planet.
Cher would want to cut a hole in the red shirt so you could see her belly button.
And if she got beamed down and circumstances were unfavorable, she would just turn back time.
Go back in time, like in Star Trek IV.
Yeah.
Cher could save the whales.
She could. And she would.
She would indeed. All right, so what do you think? Does that mean Cher is the better red shirt?
No, I think that means A Tribe Called Quest is the better red shirt.
You don't want to see Cher in like a customized belly-bearing red shirt? No pants?
Listen, this isn't about what I want.
Saving the whales?
This is about what I believe to be accurate. And if Cher were on the starship USS Enterprise, I just can't imagine they'd put her in a red shirt. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, she'd be the captain. You're right. Okay, Tribe Called Quest. It's an upset. Tribe Called Quest just knocked Cher out of this thing. And they advance to the finals. It's Tribe Called Quest versus Kool and the Gang. There's one competition left. Let's see what they're doing. The dumbest competition came up last. The competition is Penguin.
Oh, wow. How do you choose between these two acts when it comes to being the better penguin?
Now, I have to admit, as I wrote this down, I was just thinking of a penguin, just the bird, you know, waddling around the Antarctic. I suppose it could also be the Batman villain. So, either way.
All right. Have you seen the movie Happy Feet?
No.
Okay. It's a cartoon movie about a dancing penguin. And that's really the only thing I can think of to create a tiebreaker here. Because if you're going with like a penguin who has all the smooth moves, I think you gotta go with Kool and the Gang.
You know, the only penguin movie I've ever seen is Surf's Up with the surfing penguins.
Oh, good point.
All right, sounds like the winner for some strange, for no good reason, is Kool and the Gang. But of course, they're all winners. They're all getting in.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I feel like we should submit the results of this tournament to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they will make it part of their permanent exhibit. All right, Cornflake, that's the big Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee flop fight. It was weird and stupid, which means our work here is done. Oh, I have a plug. I have a quick plug for another podcast. You know our buddy Kevin Cafferty, friend of the show. He's been on our show a few times.
Yeah.
And we've plugged his podcast, Gleaming the Tube, in the past. He does a show about movies in which skateboarding happens, either a lot or just a little.
It's a really cool concept.
Kevin and Michael discuss it. Very fun show. Well, he has another podcast now. He started a whole separate podcast called The Best Stuff in the World.
Wow.
He just wants to talk about the best stuff in the world. And he calls it a podcast for people who like things. And anyway, I was a guest on the latest episode of The Best Stuff in the World. I got to come on the show to talk about Watchmen, the classic comic book series and graphic novel by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons from back in the 80s. Watchmen, one of the best things in the world. It's official now. It's on the podcast.
No one can deny it.
Yes. We will have a link to that show. So if you're a fan of Watchmen, or even if you're not a fan of Watchmen, maybe you should learn about Watchmen and then go read it. You will like it. So check out The Best Stuff in the World. And Cornflake, I think we're done. This was not the best podcast in the world that we did tonight, but we got through it. Get us out of here, please.
Yes. Well, the reward is you get to listen to the credits now and find out where you can find the Flopcast between shows. We're at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. We're also on Mastodon, universodon.com/@flopcast. And our handle on Instagram is the_flopcast. If you go on over to Apple Podcasts or any place that you download your podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review, that would be lovely. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
And you know, Sponge Awareness, that's me and that's Ed. Originally, we were a trio. Most people don't know that. There used to be three of us until one day there was a horrifying javelin accident. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Flop Fight. Everyone, hope that was goofy fun for all of you. And of course, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Helm, report.
Sir, there's Klingons on the starboard bow.
Starboard bow?
Starboard bow!
What are they doing there?
They seem to be waiting for the new episode of Earth Station Trek.
Science, what do we know about this Earth Station Trek?
It's a podcast that treks through the history of Star Trek, from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Navigation, how would one find such a podcast?
By setting coordinates for earthstationtrek.com or by doing a sensor sweep of Spotify, iTunes, or any other quadrant where fine podcasts are available.
Captain, what are we going to do about the Klingons?
We come in peace, Commander. Weapon station, shoot to kill.
Shoot to kill?
Shoot to kill.
Okay, Cornflake, this is the secret after show.
Da 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 da, after show.
Isn't this exciting? And I think we just wanted to tip off the secret after show listeners to what we're doing next week. I think the plan is, this is in pencil, this could change, but I believe we're going to return to our new wave game that we started just a few weeks ago.
Oh yeah, the game that we're both absolutely terrible at.
So far the score is 0-0, but we're going through the Rhino Records Just Can't Get Enough New Wave Hits of the 80s CD series. And in part one, we looked at the first three CDs, volumes 1, 2, and 3. So we're going to keep that going. And I believe next week we're going to listen to and then try to guess each other's favorites from volumes 4, 5, and 6. So more goofy new wave talk coming up next week. Are you looking forward to that? Be honest.
Yeah, I really am, actually.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, my bar is super low.
That's why you're here.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.